We welcome you to our services at the Highland Heights congregation via Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or in person here with us on our conference call. We thank you for joining us, and we pray if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, understand that Jesus gave his life so you could be saved. That's right. All right. You got to believe that. How many of y'all believe Jesus died on the cross? Yeah, he died. Why did he die? He died to save our souls. That's what he did. He died to save our souls. And what he did after he died, after he suffered on that cross, he gave a command after he resurrected. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in him is what? Baptized shall be saved. So if you have not been baptized, you're not saved. But if you may have been baptized before, but wasn't taught right. That baptism wasn't no good. Amen. You got to be taught truth. Amen. The Bible said God is a spirit. And they that worship him, must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So you can be taught about baptism. There are a lot of people who don't believe baptism is saved. They just tell, they'll baptize you, but not because they believe it's saved. But Peter believed it's saved. He said, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now what? Save us. So we believe it's saved. And then another thing you need to know, there's only one church in the Bible. Hey, later they said, I never knew that. But a lot of times we don't know things because we ain't never read it. Amen. But if you read it, but one church in the Bible, and that church refers to as the Church of Christ. So thank you for joining. The Bible says save the inner church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You know, there was only one Noah's Ark, right? All 8 people saved was in that ark. The church is the ark of safety for us today. Only people going to be saved be one in the ark. Amen. Now, this morning, part 2, is the Lord your shepherd, the form of a question. Is the Lord your shepherd? How many of y'all heard part 1 last week? Part 1, yeah. Amen. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And so John 10, we talked about that. Jesus is a good shepherd. He said he was a good shepherd. We talked about that last week. And he came. When he came, he was a good shepherd. He came and lived among men. Then the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 13:20 that he died. When he died, he became known as the great shepherd.
That's right.
The great shepherd. And then Peter refers to him as the chief. C-H-I-E-F, shepherd. He's going to be that shepherd when he returns. He's coming back a chief. Amen. He came good. He got up great. Coming back as the chief. But the question is he your shepherd? Amen. So we want to understand differently what a shepherd is and what a sheep is. So let's go to Psalm 23rd division. Let's read the whole thing because most of you probably can quote it, but we're going to read it. And the Psalm 23rd division.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Good. Got me a new read up here. Brother Draven, let's see how he do.
I shall not want.
Praise the mighty name of Jesus.
He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures.
Yeah.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Uh-huh.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of the righteousness for his name's sake.
Yeah.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death,
uh-huh,
I will fear no evil.
Yeah.
For thou art with me, mm-hmm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Right.
Thou preparest a table before me in, uh-huh, the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now I'm going to break these down verse by verse. And I broke down the first 3 last week. So as a recap on that, David understood what it was to be a shepherd's boy. And he helped care for his daddy's sheep. So he understood what a sheep was. He understood what a shepherd was. But you know, most of us Americans don't know nothing about sheep. We know about cows and pigs and things like that. But sheep, we don't know much about them. But the sheep is an animal you gotta understand. But so last week we looked at, he said, the Lord is what? Who's shepherd? My shepherd. So it was personal. So each of us need the Lord as our shepherd. That's what I talked about last week. And Jesus Christ is a shepherd we all need in our life. And then we learn about, he said, I shall not want, which means if when Jesus is your shepherd, there's no reason to worry because everything gonna be all right. Is that good? That's good. And now then he said, verse 2, he making me to lie down in green pastures. And I talked last week how the green pastures of peace that we can graze in. We can only find rest in the place where the pastures are green, and we have green pastures of life. All of us want to be at peace. Is that right? With God and at peace with mankind. Now that's part 1 It's already recorded. I did a lot more detail, made a lot more applications on that. I encourage you to go back and listen to part one and then tie part two to it. Now, and then the third verse, second verse, he leading me beside the still waters. Now, what he did there, the still waters of life, those sheep couldn't drink in running water, so God had to get them to still water. I'm talking about all of us who want to go to heaven must be hungry and thirst after what? Righteousness. That's what we talked about. Now, then we learned that the shepherd, David said, he restored my soul. And thank God that he restores our soul. Amen. Because we can fall, but we can get up. Isn't that right? And he'll accept us again. And that's the good part of that lesson there, is that when you got Jesus as your shepherd, amen, somebody. You're going to make some mistakes. All of us going to make some mistakes in life. But thank God he's still calling. Come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:1, if a brother been overtaken in a fault, ye were spiritual what? Restore such a one. The shepherd wants us to restore. If you're here today, you haven't been restored to the Lord. You've been in the church. You know you need to do it. You got to repent. Come back home. Amen. Come back like the prodigal son. Amen. I've sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. What? Just like the prodigal son. I'm on my way back home, down on my bending knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. Please forgive me, Jesus. Yeah, I'm glad God will take us home, take us back when we make mistakes, won't you? Then he says, he leading me in the path of righteousness. And I talk about how that God wants us to follow the path of right. Why? His name's on the line. Amen. Christian, we don't want to bring shame to Christ. We want to live in a way that bring glory to God. Amen. And we learned all that last week. Now, part two, this morning is going to start in verse 4. So if you're taking notes, be diligent in your note taking, because I'm going to give you some details of these each verse and make them applications. Is that all right? Y'all ready? Okay, now David says, yea, do I walk
through the valley of the shadows of death. I will fear no evil.
Stop right there. Now here it is. Watch this. David said, yea, do I walk. Now David is writing this as if he's the sheep. So each of us must walk our own walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And then he said, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
I'll stay right there. I gotta deal with that part. The second part coming. Now, so personalize this. It's you. Only you can walk your valley of death.
Right.
Only you can walk through it. Nobody can walk it for you. Yeah, it's on an individual basis. We all are in this walk of life. We're walking, y'all, through the valley, he says, where the shadow of death, or where we're near death. He says, but I will fear no evil.
I will fear no evil.
That's it. Stay right there. He said, I will fear no evil, meaning when I'm near death, I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
So now, let's explain this and apply it. The shepherd would lead the sheep to green pastures in the meadows or flatlands, but during the springtime and the green time of year, they would be there. Now, remember, all of us going through different seasons of life, we're all in some season. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's cold. Amen. Sometimes it's foggy. Sometimes it ain't so beautiful. You know, when the green leaves go off, it ain't so beautiful no more. So things can happen in life. All of us going through stages of aging. We're all aging. I'm not in my youthful stage no more. I'm not in that season. But there's all of us, from the young to the old. Understand this. All of us are walking through this valley of the shadow of death. Amen? And so death's coming. We just don't know when, but death is coming. And now, as the summer heat were near, the shepherd would lead the sheep through valleys to go up to a mountain where they would find green pastures again, because the heat had come and it would kill them in the flats. But it was still growing green up in the mountains. So he had to take them through the valleys to get them to a place where they could still eat and survive. Y'all with me? Now, the trip through the valley was a long and dangerous trip because there were wolves and bears and other hungry animals who wanted to kill the shepherd's sheep. They lay in wait for the weak sheep, the one who was disobedient, the one who didn't do what the shepherd told him to do, the one who was getting out of line. And now, here's what you need to know about sheep. A sheep has a rectangular pupil and their eyes, which is they got bad eyesight. They can only see about 15 to 20 feet in front of them. They have blind spots, which prevent them from directly seeing in front or directly behind them. So they are very vulnerable to an enemy sneaking up on them, and they can't recognize the enemy that's coming to kill them because of their bad eyesight. So they're totally dependent on the shepherd to take them through this valley of death. Y'all with me, aren't you? Okay, so the enemy can't get close up on the sheep, but the sheep would be okay and not fear death because he already knew that the shepherd was close. How did he know that the shepherd was close? Because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. Y'all with me? Let's see. Y'all with me already? The sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knew every sheep. He knew every sheep by name. And so the shepherd would take care of the sheep to get them through the valley of the shadow of death so that the enemy could not get upon them close enough. In this shadow near death, the enemy could not get. So the sheep could walk through there, through that valley with no fear, only because the shepherd was near.
Right.
Now, let's apply. Y'all want to make an application? All of us are walking through the valley of the physical death and spiritual death. It's every one of us are going through the season. We could take a picture today of this audience. Somebody face will be missing in the future. Why? We're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Every day we live, we are closer to the day we're going to die. If I walk across this stage, there's my shadow. Everywhere you go, everywhere we go, every walk we take, every doctor appointment we go to, on the job, on our way to the job, the shadow is in the car with us. Amen. When we leave home, the shadow is with us. When we go to the job, the shadow of death is at the job. He's there with the doctors. He's in the procedure room. He's with the surgeon. The shadow is there. The shadow of death is everywhere we go. When we lay down at night, the shadow of death, we're in the valley of the shadow of death. When you see your shadow today, it reminds you that there is death waiting. It's not ever leaving you. It's going to be there until God say, shadow, take your job. Do your job. That's the point of the man what wants to die. And after that, the judgment.
That's right.
All of us going to die.
Yes,
there's a physical death that we walk through the shadow of. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 59:1-2. The Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand now shortened that he cannot save. Neither is your heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's spiritual death. Death is a separation. When our bodies die, the spirit separates, goes back to God. Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12, verse 7, 9 through 9. Go there. The silver cord broke. When the silver cord broke, you can't put it back together. That's death. When death comes, it comes. There's no undoing it. There's no undo button on death. It's coming. All of us are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now here's the thing. God controls physical death, but the enemy that wanted to take the sheep out was the wolf. And for us, we have to understand every day of our lives that we live, the devil want to catch us in the valley of the shadow of death. He want us to die in our sins. Yes, you know, because the Lord said, shepherd said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So the enemy know. But the devil is the enemy. He's the wolf down there in that valley. He's the one waiting for us to get our sight out of the sight of the shepherd. He's there, so we wander off and we leave the Lord and we leave the church. And if you don't give right in the church, you don't live right in the church. If you just come in here and you're not doing everything you should do, the devil is winning. You're spiritually dead. But the shepherd is still called. Come back. Do you know, brothers and sisters, we have to do it the way the Lord has told us? When it comes to the life, to live, the way we worship, the things we do, how we live, our giving, our communion, everything is all a part of that. Living the way the Lord has told us to live. We have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. Why? He was leading them sheep through the valley. The wolves are all sitting as prey. They sitting there waiting. But that's why Peter said, be sober. What? Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He want us to go down, Holland Heights. He want this congregation to be filled with sin. The devil don't want us to go to heaven. Devil don't want the Church of Christ to go to heaven. He's the enemy. He know we walking through the valley. He know we gonna die physically. He want us dead spiritually. Amen. Where there is no hope of seeing heaven. No hope of seeing the street that's gold, a wall of jasper. No hope to be with God. And he'll wipe away all tears from my eyes. The enemy wants that. I am our shepherd. David said, yeah, do I walk the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. Why don't you fear? My shepherd is near. My shepherd is near. See, what David's saying, when the shepherd was near in the valley with the sheep, they could go through the valley without fearing of dying. As long as we stay close to Jesus, we don't have to fear spiritual or physical death. I said, Brother Brooks, I don't want to die. I just because you don't want to die, don't mean you fear death. Yeah, I don't want to die. But to have your life filled with sin when you're on your deathbed or something tragic happened to you and you don't know if you're going to make it through, you need to be at peace with God at that point. Amen. Amen. That's what he means. You need to be at peace. Anybody here have faced or come upon near death that you know of? You know you could have died in that situation. You know you could have died. If you had done nothing, you know you could have died in that car wreck or whatever happened to you. But you know, do we all understand that we are at near death every day of our life? Every day of our life, we are near death. Think about it, just on the freeway. You're driving 75, 80 miles an hour. You're a second away from head-on collision that will take you out. That's the shadow. See, who gets us from here to home? Who watches over us? Who protects us? It's the shepherd. God is watching over us. That's, if you're not here, if you're there, you don't have the shepherd in your life. Man, you like someone with a Russian roulette. You got a bullet in the chamber. It's gonna get you. It's gonna get you. But we got a shepherd. Anybody here fear death? You know, Shafir. First, spiritual death is what you should fear. What is spiritual, Brother Brooks? Spiritual death is when you live willfully in sin. I mean, you know what you're doing is right. You have not repented. And you didn't get it right with the Lord. That's spiritual death. You're separated from the Lord. And at the end of this sermon, you should be the one saying, brothers, I have sinned. I need y'all to pray for me. So that you are not in this condition, you're walking through this valley. You're walking through the shadow of death. It's with you everywhere you go. You want to try to keep your life right. And the beautiful thing about being a Christian, once we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, I can ask God to forgive me at any time of day or night. If I have a thought that's bad or I do something wrong because I'm his child, John said, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses it, that keeps on cleansing us over and over again. That's the beauty of being a Christian. Why we need to be a Christian? Because all of us are walking through what? The valley of the, say it with me, we all walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
That's it.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. And then David said, I fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
I don't have no reason because you're with me. See, when you know the Lord is with you, you can lay down on your pillow at night. You can lay down on your pillow at night, and they can call you with the news of the fourth stage, four cancer. Still lay down at night and be all right. Because you have no fear. Because your shepherd is near. And God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. It is so important to keep our lives at peace with God. If I ever known that in my life right now, I know that more than I ever have before. It agitates us to not be at peace. See, God, when we're at peace, you can calmly make decisions. When you're at peace with God, you have a peace that's past understanding. You don't have the spirit of fear when you have at peace with God. He did not give us the spirit of fear. No. When you're at peace with God, then you're getting peace that's coming from God. That's called a peace of God. So the peace of God belongs to God. And the peace that we seek is the peace from God. So God got peace that he can send to us when we're walking through the valley of shadow of death or things are going tough in our life. God can send you peace, and people around you say, I don't understand. They say, I don't understand. And the brother act like he all right. He act like everything going to be all right. Because you know what? God can send you peace that's past what? Past understanding. How many of you truly at peace with God? That you're so at peace with God, your peace is past understanding. Sometimes you don't say, how am I going to make it like this? And I'm all right with God. I'm still feeling all right. Mm-hmm. Because you're at peace with God. But if you're on your deathbed, and some of you may have been there before, you're so close to death you didn't realize until the doctor told you we almost lost you. Amen. Anybody went through that? Well, the doctor said we don't know how we at high risk right here. We don't know if we're going to be able to help you. We don't know if we're going to be able to put the cancer in remission. We don't know if we're going to get the organ you need. We don't know if you might want to call your family in. Anybody had the news? You had the news. You're in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't want to go through that alone. You want the Lord to be what? Your shepherd. That's what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. How many of you can say the Lord is my shepherd?
Yeah.
In the valley, he's my shepherd.
Yeah.
When I'm near death, he's my shepherd. When I'm in darkness, in the deep valleys of life, times are tough. Life is tough.
Yeah.
Can't hardly see how you're going to make it. But God is light in darkness. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to say amen. I know I ain't the only one feeling this lesson here. Yeah. We are against the enemy because of Satan. But God has already scouted out the valley. And he knows where the wolf is lurking. And he always goes ahead of the sheep. And he walks in front of them to flush out the enemy. He walked in front of us to flush out the enemy. Then Peter says, humble yourselves.
Nah.
on the mighty hand of God. And he would take care of you in due time. Cast your cares upon him. For he cared for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, here it is, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you fear evil, if you fear the devil, you need a shepherd. You need the Lord to be your shepherd. If you fear dying, you fear dying, you need the Lord to be your shepherd. Because there's going to come a day that you're going to know or may not know. But there's going to come a day you can know my death is near. They told me it's near. They gave me 4 months. Gave me 2 weeks. What are you going to do then? You need the Lord as your shepherd. You are in the valley. Preach, Brother Brooks. We need it. We need it. We need it.
That's right.
Need a shepherd in your life.
That's right.
David said that. David said that. Then David says, "I said, Dad, why don't you fear?" He said, "For thou art
for thou with me."
Now here's why he don't fear. I'm gonna tell you the second part of this verse. I just did the first half of it.
Thy rod.
The reason I don't fear is that thou art with me. With who? Who are you with? Me. So you have to say thou with me. So you walk, he with you. Mm-hmm. Now you're going through the valley, he's with you. He says this.
Thy rod.
Now, you with me, there's a rod, keyword, rod.
And thy staff.
A staff.
They comfort me.
Bring comfort, the key words here, bring comfort. Now, he knew when he said thou with me, that's faith. See, when you know the Lord is going to come through for you, you know he's with you. As Paul said, when no one else stood with me, the Lord stood with me. So in this walk of life, when you have the Lord as your shepherd, it may not be your friends standing with you. It may not be your church members going to stand with you. It may not be your family who will stand with you. It may not be your husband who going to stand with you. No one may stand with you. But if you're on the side of right, when you're on the side of what's right, the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what David said. The Lord was with me. I didn't fear it because the Lord is with me. He had a rod and a staff in his hand. Now, let me explain this. The rod was kind of an object about like that and had a handle with the young shepherds as they began to become shepherds. They would whittle out their rods to fit their hands. And then they also had a thing called a staff. It was a hook. Once I gave them a board working, y'all started drawing. Hint. I said to the sound room. Hint, sound room. I want my board when I come back. I want my board working. Amen. Now you sisters, y'all do me a flavor. And tell the brothers back there, get Brother Brooks' board running.
Wow.
Now I know they'll listen to y'all sister. Y'all know when to speak up. Okay, now, the rod. One thing about our sisters. Sisters can get stuff done. Men can't get it done sometimes. Amen. Every man know he need a good woman in his life. Y'all know, all you brothers, my brother, stop dropping your head, raise your own up, and give it to your wife, good credit. Some of you don't dress well unless she put it out on, let me see. praise my name. Some of them take their suit out and say, baby, where he ain't wearing, you looking like a clown or something if you hadn't put it out. Anyway, I thought I'd help myself there a little bit with some of the sisters in church. Y'all help me get my board. Now, y'all back with me now? A little deviation there. That was all right. A rod. Y'all got the rod? Okay, so what the shepherd would have the rod, right? So when he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Bo, the shepherd had his staff and his rod, and he would beat the wood in front of him or the bushes to make sure no enemy was in there. Now, if he spotted a wolf, The shepherd was very accurate with the rod. See, he used the rod to protect his sheep. Amen, somebody. Y'all with me? And then he used that, and so that was comforting to the sheep, because he knew the sheep couldn't see no farther than 15 feet. But the shepherd could see all the way down there. The shepherd saw the enemy before the sheep saw the enemy. See, so the God see our enemy and his intent to take us out. So God got rods to deal with the devil. Amen. Amen. Now, he will use the rod in defense of the sheep and kill the enemy. So that the sheep could always feel a comfort in this valley of death. He had the staff. Now the staff was a longer stick with a hook on the end. And the sheep were hard-headed. Yeah, he knew him. He could say, hey, Dreyfus, you know, like if I was saying, Dreyfus, get back over here. You too close to the woods, Dreyfus. That wasn't them sheep. And Dreyfus ain't listening, like some of us. Mm-hmm. The Lord tell us we're getting too close to sin, and we don't listen. Amen, somebody. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So the shepherd, he could take the end of that thing and poke him and get back over there. Or he could take the hook and correct him with it. You're on the wrong path. So he take the hook it around his neck, pull him back over there where he need to be. Y'all missing the point, ain't you? I'm talking about Jesus, our shepherd. Our shepherd got a rod, amen, somebody, and a staff. See, when the sheep would veer off in dangerous places, the shepherd would grab him with a hook. Now, when the sheep would have little babies, the shepherd had to be tender with that baby, so he used a hook to pull the baby, because he didn't want to touch the baby. He would pull the baby back to the mama. So he'll be tender with those who need to be tender with, and tough with those who he need to be tough with. Remember, sometimes as you grow up in the Lord gonna be tender with those who don't know no better. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know it, do it good, and do it not, you gonna get poked. How you say that, brother? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction.
That's right.
Yeah. When the sheep, often the sheep will get caught up in the bushes or veer off the near death, near the clear edge of the cliff, and the shepherd would have to grab the hook and get him back off the edge of the cliff. So he was going up into mountains. Now some of us on the edge of the cliff. If you don't get something going right in your life, the Lord is trying to, through this word, this is how he works, through the word of God, I'm preaching to you now, you on the edge of the cliff, you know your life is out of, you know you're not doing right, you know you ought not be over there living together and not married, you know you ought not be doing the drinking and the party and the living the life you are, you know you ought not be engaged in gossip and tell Barry and whispering and backbiting, you know you ought not be sowing discord among the brethren, you know you're on the edge of the cliff, you know you're not faithful to the Lord, you know you don't give right, you're on the edge of the cliff. Amen. Amen. Am I coming down somebody's street? Somebody say, you talking to me? Well, if your shoe fit, put it on. And one lady told me back in Arkansas, a Sister Johnson, sweet woman, she went trying to just kind of tell you, like, she'll tell you what she think about everything. And that was all right. You need women like that in your life. Older women who done been through some stuff. I appreciate you older sisters who call me and thank me and talk to me. I like you. Don't think Brother Brooks don't appreciate it, because my mama did the same thing. I'm used to getting fussed at. I got fussed at a lot, matter of fact. But this lady, I was preaching, I was preaching, she came, Brother Brooks. I said, yes, ma'am. I didn't know if she was going to rebuke me or say something nice. I never knew what was going to come out of my mouth. She said, well, I tell you, you know, some people you don't know what they're going to say now. And then she sees something sweet, it surprised you. She said, Brother Brooks, I tell you, I know you always saying, if the shoe fit, put it on. She said, so well, this show get tight sometimes. She wasn't no crank, was she? She understood that sometimes the shoe had to be on me. And if it's tight, that means it's kind of squeezing you. It's kind of saying, you know, the word, God is talking to you now through that boy up there. Now, so that's that style. The sheep, they veer off. And every time we veer off, only the Lord can save us, y'all. I don't know who in here done veered off so far that you can't get back. But I want to let you know this. The shepherd is never out of reach. He can get you back. Interesting point. The sheep knew the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd knew him by name. They will most time respond to his words. Get back over here, Japheth. He knew he was talking to him. Get back over here, Stroud. Stroud knew he was talking to him. See, when you're hearing the word of God, when I'm preaching, the word of God will bring you back if you know your shepherd and he know your name. Y'all get it? So he didn't have to put the hook around them all the time. Some of them responded to his voice. The Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by what? The word of God. However, when the sheep was being hard-headed and stopped listening to the shepherd like we do, sometimes it's not that we don't know what the scriptures say. We ignore what the scriptures say. We don't want to do what the scriptures say. We want to do what we want to do. And we're going to do what I want to do. I don't care if you do want me to forgive you. I'm not going to forgive you no more. I don't care what you say, I'm not going to do it. You know, it doesn't matter what the Lord says. I know what the Bible say, but I don't feel that today. That's a person who's being hard-headed, not listening to the shepherd. So how does this apply to us? Just like sheep, we need corrections. Just like sheep, we need discipline. Just like sheep, we need instructions. Amen, somebody. Sometimes we get too hard-headed. You lift it up in pride. Can't be told nothing. Don't want to listen to nothing. Even though constructive criticism can come, the person who love you mean well. Sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth must be told. Amen, somebody. Just tell the truth with a good motive. Amen. Tell the truth with a good motive. Don't tell the brother the truth to try to kill him. Tell him the truth to try to save him. Amen, somebody. Yeah, well. Hebrew 12:6. What the Bible say there? The Bible say what now?
For whom the Lord loveth.
Now watch now. Here's the sheep. The Lord, the shepherd loved every one of those sheep, didn't he? Hebrew writes there, for whom the Lord loveth, he what?
He chastiseth and scorneth.
And scourge, that's whipping.
Every son whom he receiveth.
Now y'all know, how many of y'all got a whipping from your mom and daddy? Man, I thought they were killing me. It seemed like they're killing me. You're killing me. I ain't gonna kill you. She ain't kissing. But my mama said stuff like that. Boy, I brought you in the world, I'll take you. I know what she meant. She didn't mean just a little kill me, but you gonna think she would kill you by the time she finished putting that scourging on you. How many of y'all had a mama like that? Any of y'all had it? Young people don't have mom and dad like that no more. Yeah. Boy, my daddy had a big old greasy black belt. I just hate that belt. That belt hurt. But the Lord got a greasy black one too. He said, sometime I'm whooping you. That's because I love you. Now he, if you endure chastening.
If you endure chastening,
God deals
with you as with son.
For what son?
For what son is he whom the father chasteth not?
All right, see, I'm only doing it because you're my child. How does that correct? How does it correct? What does the poking for us? What is it all about? It's the Lord trying to get us to do right. That's what he's trying to get. You see, we want to do right. We got to listen to the word of God. Why? All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right. That the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished. 2 Timothy 3:16. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, joints and marrow, and watch this, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the word of God, this is like the sheep, the physical sheep had to hear the word of the shepherd. We have to hear the word of the Bible. The word of the Bible is the word of our shepherd. We got to hear the word. If we follow the word, we're going to be all right. Why? James said, we lay up for all filtering, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. The word of God is able to save your what? So, what was the purpose of him pulling that sheep off the cliff? Because he didn't want him to die. What is the purpose for God saying we have to discipline? When we're wrong, we have to repent. When we're wrong, we have to confess. That's Amen. To get started in this life as a child of God, to serve this shepherd, you gotta believe in him. You gotta repent of your sin. You gotta confess him before men. You gotta be baptized for the remission of your sin.
That's right.
That's the only time you become a sheep in the pasture for this shepherd. Now let's go back to Psalm 23rd vision in verse 5. I'm trying to wrap it up.
Thou prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Stop right there. Let me explain that. He said what the sheep would do would prepare a table before him in the presence of his enemies. So what does this mean? The shepherd would go ahead in front of where the sheep was going to be eating. He was preparing the table, as will. Like preparing, setting the table for them to eat. Okay, so he was preparing the table, for them there'll be a field. Or the pasture, where they were going to be eating. Before he allowed them to eat in there, he went in there himself. He went in ahead of them. He went in before them. And when he worked there, he looked for holes where poisonous snakes would be in. He looked for bad weeds that were poisonous that they could eat. So he pulled the bad weeds. He found the holes where the snakes would be hiding. And he set it up. And he also looked for the infested the parasites that could hurt the sheep. He took care of everything before he allowed the sheep to graze in the pasture. That makes sense? Yeah. Now, the snakes and poisonous weeds were enemies. And they could cause the sheep to die. Now, our shepherd is Jesus the Christ. He's gone before us. He's prepared the table. He's prepared the table before us. When did he do it? Well, Isaiah said like this. But Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep what, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He went ahead. He dealt with sin when he went ahead. Is that right? He was dealing with the devil when he went ahead. He lived among men 33 years. Get 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. He gave this table of life. He gave us a way to avoid spiritual death, to avoid the snake bite, to avoid the poison. He gave us what we need. Paul said it like this.
O death, where is thy sting?
Where is your sting?
O grave.
Grave, where is your victory?
The sting of death is sin.
Sin, the sting of death is sin.
And the strength of sin is the law.
Yeah.
But thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Which gives us the victory.
He gave us what?
Lord Jesus Christ.
He gave us the victory. So the shepherd went ahead of the sheep to give them the victory. So they could graze in the pasture. Without the devil. Without the snake biting. Without eating no poison. He went ahead of us. And the Hebrew writer said, we have now the high priest that cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmity. But at all point, he done lived his life. He know what it is to be tempted by sin. He knew when he went to the cross, he had to go there because we could not make it without his blood. Nobody in here is that bad or that good. There's so much sin in your life, you can't be saved. You can be saved. Anyone can be saved. When if they just do what the shepherd said, do. You're not so far gone, you can't be saved. Amen, somebody. Now he said this. Thou anointest my head with oil.
Now
what does that mean? He said, the shepherd would pour what they call a strong mixture of oil and other ingredients on the head of the sheep to get rid of, watch this, the annoying flies and insects. It's like insect repellent. So they couldn't bite him. Like, you know how I think of mosquitoes when you're doing that all the time. You better put you some repellent on to keep the sheep, because they're annoying. Flies, and we had fly swatters back when I was growing up. We had fly swatters because back then, you know, doors open a lot. We didn't have air conditioning and all that. Flies come all in the house. But next time they buzz around you and you go, pop, and take that fly. Amen. Y'all ain't know anything about annoying flies? See, those sheep could not rest if these things were annoying them. They couldn't rest and eat because these annoyances was around them, buzzing in their ear, in their faces, sitting on his nose. Amen. So the shepherd would pour oil mixtures on their head. In the snake holes, he poured that oil in them snake holes to prevent snakes from coming up and when they graze and crawl, bite him on his nose. So he prevented them from being killed because he went before them. God done gone before us. Jesus went before us and conquered death. He took care of sin. He anointed our heads with oil. He poured oil in the snake hole. And he gives us a comforter called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit convicts the conscience to bring you back. When you feel, Brother Brooks, I know I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And you're feeling guilty. Anybody been there before? That's the conscience saying you guilty. But he gave us a comforter. Because we can ask for forgiveness and be back at peace. I don't think y'all like this kind of preaching. I'm trying to get. Now, I want y'all to know that there can be people in your life that'll be like the flies. Yeah. I know you probably didn't want me to say that, but you know, it's gonna happen. It's gonna be some people that when you see them come, you say, "Oh Lord, here you come." What's next? You know, let me say it in love. You know, the people of the world they don't care about us. Worldly people don't. But in the church, we all love each other. Amen. For always find something to edify. Edify. Ephesians 4:29 for me. Because I wouldn't want nobody to think I'm an annoyance. Now here's what the Lord said. I think it's Ephesians 4:29 where I want. Is that right, Brother Stroud? One thing about having Brother Stroud in the audience, like having a Bible in the audience. You got that for me, Drayton? I'm going to drop this in here tenderly.
Let no corrupt
now,
communication proceed out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
Now he said, when you going to say something?
That it may minister grace unto the hearers.
You want to say good to the use of what? Edifying, building them up. For why? He said.
That it may minister grace
to the hearers. Says, you know, we all can practice that. There been time when I said things, I know that wasn't the right way to say it. But it's okay to go back and say, you know what, my intent was good, maybe I said it wrong. And sometimes that happens. That's okay. But just make sure that when you want to say something, think about it before you say it.
That's right.
Be slow to what? Speak. Swifter.
Yeah.
Right. Give yourself time to think through it. How I'm going to say it in a way that's going to build them up.
That's right.
See, there'll be people going through some things in their life, boy, you can crush them. They're not ready for it.
Amen.
It's too heavy. It's too harsh. It's too hard. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, that's what he's saying. That's an annoyance. It's disturbing your mind, your spirituality. It's disturbing your peaceful rest at night. That's what, see, the flies want to disturb them, distract them. But the shepherd knew, if I deal with the snake, if I deal with the flies, if I deal with the annoyances, and the annoyances can simply be sin, something you're going through, it continues to be the same issue every week. You got the same sin you've been dealing with. You've been dealing with this sin since last year. And it annoys you right now. It's bothering you because I'm talking to you, but it's really the shepherd talking to you. So don't be careful by giving Brother Brooks the credit or saying, well, Brother Brooks was talking about me. Well, maybe your conscience is bothering you.
That's right.
That may be what's, see, I don't know your life. You know, I don't know your life. You know your life. God know your life. If what I said bothers you, you may need to examine it.
Nah.
If it don't bother you, then you should be bothered.
That's right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, you can take anything I say. Say, he was talking to me. Well, yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody said you needed to hear.
Amen.
And that make you think of somebody. I had people tell me, man, it seemed like you was all up in my house last night. I ain't been to your house. You know better than that. All up in your house. The word of God is all up in your brain. That's what the deal is. And it's doing its job. It's quick. It's powerful. It moves quick. It's sharp. Two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing son of the soul, the spirit, the joints and marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will cut you. Amen. If a good preacher can use the word of God, it won't hurt you. It won't even hurt. Yes, you got to cut out the sin. Got to use a sword. Cut out the sin. That's why I tried to use the sword to cut out the false doctrine. Cut out the any church would do. Cut out baptism not for the remission of sin. Cut it out. Use the word of God. Amen. Use the word of God. I ain't hurt nobody. But the sin got to go. It got to get cut. Yeah, so I'm closed. I know that's where y'all need me to be right about now. When we live our life for the shepherd, he give us more blessing. He said, our cup runneth what?
My cup runneth over.
Man, see how blessed we are to be children of God? Man, I want my cup running over. I don't want it half full. I want it running over. How many of y'all want your cup running over? Yeah, that's all blessings coming your way. Spiritual blessing, forgiveness of sin, prayer power, comfort. Amen. Knowing God is your shepherd. Then surely
goodness.
Lastbury, goodness.
And mercy.
How many of y'all like goodness? So David come back with affirmation.
Amen.
Now that I know my shepherd, surely
goodness.
Sure, he said. For sure, as we say in the world. Amen. Sure enough. And you know, amen. For sure, he's goodness coming with it. Mercy is coming with it.
Shall follow
me. He said, go follow me.
All
goodness is with me going.
My
following
life.
Me all the days of my life.
And I would dwell in the house.
David said, because I know my shepherd.
I would dwell in the house.
I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Never leave the Lord. Amen. David said, I know I want goodness and mercy. I want it to follow me. Knowing that, knowing this, I'll never ever leave my shepherd. So here's what you can recap the thing you should have learned from this psalm. Number one, when you know him as your shepherd, you don't have to live worrying about everything. You can be concerned, but you should be able to lay down and say, God gonna make a way somehow. When we know our shepherd, you should be able to find rest. Mm-hmm. But that rest is gonna be in the green pastures. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to be grazing. When we know the shepherd, we can only drink from the still waters of life. That's the water Jesus that gives us. The water he gives is the word of God. When we know our shepherd, you know your soul can be restored. You don't have to die in your sin. How many of y'all like second chances? Oh, man. Jonah was a fugitive. He was given another chance. David was a murderer, adulterer. He was given another chance. Is that right? Moses killed a man. Sure did. Moses hit the rock. God told him to speak. He hit it. But you know, Moses, he sent him up. I was studying that this morning. Send him up to the top of the mountain. Showed him the promised land. He said, but you ain't going. But he's blessed him. He sent Joshua on over there. Take care of the rest of the business. See, the Lord gonna do what he gonna do for his children. But Moses, the Bible said, Moses didn't even look like an old man. His eyes wasn't dim enough. He died in the Lord. He wasn't lost. But he couldn't carry the rest of the way. He had to have Joshua. I'm gonna talk about that this afternoon. Number five. When you know him as your shepherd, you know he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When you know him as your shepherd, you know you can walk through the valley of shadow of death and fear no evil. When you have the Lord as your shepherd, you know he'll always be there with you and he'll never leave you. When you have the Lord as your shepherd, you know he have a rod and he have a staff. And you got to be willing to be corrected and instructed as you got the shepherd. He said the shepherd would prepare the table. And he's prepared. He came and lived among men. And he died for our sins. He prepared the table for us. He anointed our head with oil. He gives us the protective measure to stay safe and stay away from the annoyances of sins and flies. And when we know his shepherd, you know your shepherd, your cup can run over with blessings. Why would anyone not want to be a child of God? I don't understand why you wouldn't want to be a child of God. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning?
No.
Somebody say, Brother Brooks, I want him to be my shepherd. Well, we want him to be your shepherd too. Your brother, how do I get the Lord my shepherd? I always have been a good person. That won't do it. I read my Bible. That won't do it. That won't make you a sheep. No. Your brother, I ain't did nothing bad. Nobody. That won't do it. But see, God came John 3:16, so loved you. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. Then Jesus came, lived among men. He came to conquer death and the grave. He came to become sin for us. They whipped him. He had falsely accusers. He had those who betrayed him, those who denied him, those who whipped him. He wore the crown of thorns. He had a tree on his back. He was doing all that because that's the only way he could prepare the table before us. And he walked to Calvary carrying his cross, but he couldn't make it. And I'm glad, God, when things loads get heavy, when the load got heavy on him, there was a man of serene. They was there. Him they compelled to bear his cross. He didn't take it off the back. He had to get the cross to the Calvary. But Simon lifted up the end of it so he could make it on to Calvary. He made it to Calvary. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. He hung 6 hours in suffering, bleeding, to die for us. He became sin for us. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected as the great shepherd with all power. He gave the command. They're making us to lie down. The command is, go to all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. How many of y'all believe in him this morning? Amen. If you believe he hung, bled, and died, say amen. Amen. You believe that he buried him in the tomb, say amen. If you believe he resurrected with all power, say amen.
Amen.
And that's what you got to do. You got to repent after you believe all that. Say, I got to go. I can't leave you like I can't. Brother Bruce, do y'all have some water to baptize me? Yes. Do you? Brother, I got my brand new suit on. Do you have a? We got clothes. You go in there. You got to get wet though. You got to go in the water because there's some blood in the water. Revelation 1:5. That blood go wash away your sin, and then the Lord will add you to the pastor. That's green. That's the Church of Christ. That's where you find rest in the Lord. If you're not in the Church of Christ, you need to be born again. It don't matter if you've been baptized 10 times. There's only one true baptism. That one true baptism puts you in the one true church, and the only one true church is the Church of Christ. And then to those of us who are sheep in this pasture, we already know. Sometimes we get near the edge of the cliff. Sometimes we veer off. Sometimes we stop listening. Sometimes we fall in a hole. He have to come get us up, get our circulation going again. That was last week. Sometimes we just get turned over on our back. We don't know how to get up. And that's when somebody got to come help us. Help us get, that's restoration. Brothers and sisters, look here. This is what we're getting ready to do with the new ministry. Trying to go get the brothers and sisters who fallen. We got to get them back up. We got to help them get back up. Get the circulation back. That's what we got to do. Y'all ready to go to work? Amen. We're going to have to work like we've never worked before. We're going to have everybody who love Holland Heights on board. Get these ministries back up and running. Give as much as you can toward the effort. So we can get everything back going like what? Make sacrifice. What can we do? We need to go get the sheep who fallen. The ones who fallen. They need to get up and they need help. Amen? That's a good plea. If you might be in the audience this morning and you need to restore and come home, I want you to come home. Who should come? Prepare to meet your God. Those who have never been baptized should come. Or if you baptized before but not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to come be baptized today. Or those who are falling by the wayside, we want you to come repenting and confessing your fault. You can come by walk down to the front. You can write it on a card if you need to. But if you sin, you got to make that confession with your own mouth. Can't nobody do it for you. Amen. How many of y'all got your Lord as your shepherd? What's the lesson today? Is the Lord my shepherd.
That's right.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not want. Amen, somebody. I'm so thankful. Now I can say the Lord is my shepherd. Would you come? Won't you come? Won't you come this morning? That's enough of that. You ought to come today and prepare to meet your God. Let him be your shepherd. Right now, together we stand and sing song of encouragement.
Amen. Tell his soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God.
Come on back to the Lord this morning. Let him be alive. Restore, restore.
Oh, he the
Lord. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord this morning.
Oh, your life.
Give him your life. Give him your life. Give him your life.
Will soon be gone.
Give him your life. Give him your life. Give him your life.
Oh, how sad
to face
thy judgment.
Unprepared.
Prepare.
to meet thy God.
To meet thy God.
There's somebody over here, you need to come. You need to come. Wouldn't you come this
way? Why so thoughtless?
Raise your hand. I walk with you. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord. Let him in your life this morning. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord. Ask the person next to you to come with you. You need the Lord this morning. I'm calling on you.
Judgment.
Unprepared.